here today. A lot of you have been asking about my wife, by the way, and I thank you for your prayers. Some of you might know that she had a heart cath procedure this past Thursday, and so she is at home resting from that, and so I appreciate your prayers for her as we believe God to totally heal her and make her whole. Amen? So thank you so much for your love and for your prayers and for your concern for her. We appreciate that a lot. I know that she is watching right now. So we love you, sweetie, and we're praying for you. So let's grab our Bibles now. Whether it's in your device or you actually have a hard copy of the scriptures, turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. It's right after 1 Kings. Just testing you. 2 Kings. I want to share a message today entitled, I Want It Back. I Want It Back. I want to talk about people who very much may be in this room here today. And you find yourself serving the Lord. We're not talking about a sin issue or anything like that. But there is something missing from your life today that, quite honestly, you want that back in your life, whatever that might be. I want to take you to a story today of a woman who was missing something, and she did something about it, and the result of this was pretty powerful, and I believe the same action that she took is the same action that you could take today, you and I could take today, and we could see the Lord not only restore us, but also bless us, amen? So I want to share that with you today. If you're able to, would you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together? We are in 2 Kings chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're just going to go to verse 6 here today. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 to verse 6. If you're there, will you say amen? Amen. Or just fake it. That's fine too. Okay. If you don't have your scriptures, you could look in the screen. Okay. I'll have all my verses there. Verse 1 says this, Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. The king was talking to Gehazi. Don't name your kids that, okay? Gehazi, they'll get teased. He was the servant of the man of God. And said, Tell me about all the great things that Elisha has done. And just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and the land. Gehazi said, This is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And the king asked the woman about it, and she told him. And then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now. So Jesus, I'm asking you that today would be a day that if we are missing anything, Lord, we would make that plea to you to see you miraculously bring it back into our lives. So, Lord, speak to us, I ask you, and have your way in this place. And God, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pretty great story, huh? Really great story. Now, this is not the first time that we see this woman in Scripture, okay? The story that we just read mentioned the fact that her son was at one time dead, and God used Elisha to be used by God so that he was brought back to life. How many of you know that's a pretty good service? Amen? Okay, you've had a good Sunday when the dead are raised. And so this woman, she has been a huge supporter of Elisha. She has been used as a blessing in Elisha's ministry and in Elisha's life. Elisha has touched them in a great way. Now, here's the deal. There was something missing from her life. And she was at a point where she wanted it back. My question to you, which I'm going to ask later on in this message, is there something that's missing in your life this morning? It could be a lot of things. So what I'd like to do is take a little bit of a journey in this passage here today. And I want to break this passage into three different parts. Three different parts of this story that I think will, they'll really hit home with us here today. And let's see what might happen as the people of God go to the Lord and say, God, this is missing in my life. Will you give it back? Number one, I want to show you number one, whom I would call the outcast. The outcast. Let's talk about this woman for a minute and show you that even though she was missing some things in her life, even though that she wanted her house and her land back, that she did nothing wrong. Can we agree on that? Not a sin issue. Okay, so if you hear preaching out there that says, well, you're in this situation, you're sick, or you're missing this thing because there's some hidden sin in your life, or you're not praying correctly, or that just let go of that, okay? Sometimes troubling things will happen to really good people, okay? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're going through it right now. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes, Jesus even said in John 16, I've quoted this before, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, the scripture says. So we will have trouble, but God's still in control. Look at verses 1 and 2 again, okay? Elisha said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Now, how many of you know that if you're a child of God, you're a Jewish person, staying in the land of the Philistines is not really the most ideal vacation home? Okay, where's your summer home? Oh, just full of people that hate God and hate us. Oh, well, wonderful. How's the view? I mean, it's not ideal at all. But there's some things about this woman that I think a lot of us in here can relate to. As we said before, number one, she saw the miraculous. She saw God do amazing things. She saw the boy whom she loved, her own son, who was dead, get raised to life. The scripture says that Elisha, kind of strange, but he kind of laid on top of him, kind of nose to nose, and he came to life. So this morning after the service, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just joking. Some of you were marching out. It's just like, oh boy. It's like a Yeti attacking me. Don't worry, that's not going to happen. Right? But this woman had already seen some great things. I know a lot of you have too. You've seen God be faithful. You've seen the goodness of the Lord. Some of you wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for God. Some of you would be, You'd be in jail right now if it wasn't for God. Some of you, you'd be an absolute mess, a train wreck. Maybe you're just a sanctified train wreck, but God's with you, amen? You've seen God's faithfulness. So had this woman. So it's not like this woman was a stranger to the moving of God. It's not like this woman was a stranger to seeing God provide for her and take care of her in some miraculous ways. That leads me to number two. Not only had she seen the miraculous, but she was also mindful of the Lord's direction. Now understand something here. Sometimes we read these scriptures and we see it kind of with a 21st century filter. And we think, okay, I can just read my Bible, get my direction, follow that direction, then do what the Bible says. Well, how many of you know that Zondervan Publishers was not around at that time, right? So she didn't have the Bible like we have. The mouthpiece for God at that time were the prophets like Elisha. So when Elisha said something, it was actually like God was talking, okay? How many of you understand what I'm saying? And so Elisha told this woman to do something that I don't think was very easy to do. How many of you love moving? Can I see your hands? Wow. You know, a test of a good friendship, asking them to help you move, okay? That will test it. In fact, it may end a lot of friendships, to be quite honest with you. I won't share that story. But God spoke through Elisha to tell this woman, you ready? To kind of move out of her element, out of her comfort zone, and do something totally different. Has God ever spoken to you, maybe through the Word, maybe through His Holy Spirit, and He's saying, you know what I want you to do? I want you to do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone, out of what you would normally do. Look, a lot of these commands are pretty easy to obey. Thou shalt not kill. I'm good with that. How about you? How about you? Okay, if you're struggling with that, see Jonathan after the service. He would like to pray with you. But you know, some of these, you know, it's easy. But then, God really starts dealing with you. And you're wired a certain way. And God begins to say, you know what? I want you to do something. I want you to change. Oh, how many of you love that word change? I want you to change in such a way that is totally different than what you've been used to. And she obeyed. Just as a side note, if you're in that moment right now, where God's speaking to you, or as you read His Word, it's like, man, okay, that's a tough one for me. You read things like, wow, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. Where's the part about slashing their tires? I want to find that verse. It's not in there. And it goes against how some of us are hardwired. But that's what God does. Little by little, day by day, my journey as a Christian is a bunch of moments where Jesus will take me just as I am, and He'll say, I got to change that in you. Well, I don't want to change, God. You have to. I don't want to. But you have to. Because my goal is to become more like Him. Should I get more than one amen there? My goal is to become more like Him. So in the process, I'm going to have moments where I have to obey Him when it kind of hurts, when it's a little difficult. Anybody who told you that serving Jesus Christ is nothing but rainbows and pudding, I got to tell you, that's just not the case. There are times where we're going to be called upon the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. God's word is going to direct us to do things that take us out of our comfort zone. Speak to that person. Give this amount. Forgive that person. Go over here. Stop doing this. Stop talking that way. You understand what I'm saying? And he does these things. And how many of you know obeying God is always a win? We obey God, we let him deal with the consequences of our obedience. Amen? So this woman, she obeyed the direction of the mouthpiece of God. She obeyed the direction of God. And she decided to let God deal with the consequences of it. Follow me? So if you're, I don't know why I'm camping out on this. I wasn't planning on it, but it's got to be for somebody here. If you're wondering if it was worth obeying what God told you to do, please know it was. You might not see the results yet. There might be a 7-year famine going on around you, and you're not sure what the results are going to be, but God does. God has the results of your obedience already in his hand. Can you say amen to that today? That's good news. That's good news. So this woman, she'd seen the miraculous, and she was mindful of what God told her to do, but yet something was missing. For her, it was her house and her land. God had called a famine of judgment on the people. Elisha said, you're going to want to get out of here because it's going to be terrible for 7 years. 7 years passes, and now she comes back just like, hey, my house is missing. Some theologians or commentators will even say that somebody might have actually confiscated her house while she was gone, kind of like a squatter, and they would have taken the house from her, and they didn't want to leave. So she finds herself in this precarious position. In fact, the reason why some people think the reason why she's doing all the talking and not her husband is the fact that her husband may have passed away by now. So she approaches this situation right now where she is homeless and it looks like she is husbandless. There's something missing in her life. Now for you, may not be a house. Might not be acres of land. But maybe if I ask, what could be missing from your life? Is there something missing today from your life? Maybe I can give a few examples here today. Maybe for you, your happiness is missing. Kind of lost your joy. It's been said when people wake up, some people say, good morning, Lord. Others say, good Lord, morning. Have you lost your happiness, your joy? And I'm not talking some flaky, I'm not talking that. Just that fulfillment, that peace that you have in your life. Is it missing? Maybe your security. Maybe your security is missing. And see, the problem is, I'm going to give you some direction as to how to get all this stuff back. But the key is not going the wrong direction to try to get what's missing back in your life. Oh, man, that is so huge. The key, don't go to the wrong destination to try to get back what's missing in your life. I'll go there in a little bit. Maybe your friendships are missing. Maybe your health is missing today. Maybe your fulfillment in life. Look, I'm not here to depress you, okay? But I've walked this walk alongside a lot of good, wonderful people that have been mindful of the Lord's commands, and they've seen God do miracles in the past, just like this woman. And they've had something missing in their life. Maybe your hope. What is it? Maybe for you it's not even on the list, but But maybe for you, there's something significant that's missing in your life, and quite frankly, you're tired of not having it. It's something that rightfully belongs to you. Now, I'm not talking about a sin issue, okay? Oh man, I really miss that sin. I wish God would give it back to me. Okay, that's the wrong prayer to pray. God's not going to do that. But stuff like this. Stuff that the scripture speaks to us and says, this is part of having a relationship with God. It's not just waiting to die and go to heaven, but it's also life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. And maybe that's missing from your life. What do? We've looked at the outcast. In fact, the reason why I called her an outcast is because the Jewish culture would have considered her an outcast to be husbandless and homeless at the same time. This woman didn't have a lot going for her after 7 years, it seemed, even though all she did was obey. What do? We've seen the outcast for the English-speaking people, but now, secondly, let's take a look at the outlook. What did she do? I'll tell you what she could have done. She could have said, you know what? Obeying God was not worth it. Forget it. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to distance myself from God. I guess it really wasn't worth it anymore. Why am I saying this? Because I've heard way too many people that have said the exact same thing. When all they did was obey, and it doesn't seem like things are working out for them the way that they should, and so they feel like they have to distance themselves from God. They want to give up. I'm here to tell you, please don't give up. There's an answer for you today. Look what the woman did, starting in verse 3. It says this, at the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king. Everybody say, to the king. For her house and her land. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, tell me about all the great things that Elisha has done. And just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son that Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, this is the woman, my lord and king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. What do? First and foremost, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come to the king. We're going to come to the king. What did this woman do? She went to the king. How many of you know that you have a king today, named Jesus Christ, whom you can go to? And when you find yourself missing something very valuable to you yourself, when you find yourself missing things like your happiness and your hope and your health, when you find yourself missing your security, when you find yourself missing all of this stuff, the person you need to turn to is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, the problem is we have too many people that are trying to find all this stuff in the wrong areas. This is why we have people that jump from bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship to another bad relationship, and they've all been Facebook official for a few days, but here you are. It's just not working out again, and your life is just a mess of carnage of failed relationships with people that you had no business going to in the first place. Is that too true? And there's nothing wrong with you know, trying to find the person of your dreams, whatever that is, but hear me. The first person you need to come to is Jesus. You're not going to find your fulfillment in another person. You're not going to find your fulfillment in a job. You're not going to find your fulfillment with more money in your bank account. You're not going to. You're not going to find it. But you know where you'll find all these things is when you approach the King. There is a king here today whom you don't have to set an appointment for. There is a king today that met you at the door when you came to church today. There is a king by the name of Jesus whom you can approach this morning. The book of Hebrews chapter 4:16 says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You have a king today that you can come to. Stop being mad at God about your life and come to him today and tell him what's missing in your life. Stop being angry at life. Stop being angry at your kids. Stop being angry at your dog. Stop being angry at your cat. Well, okay, the cat. But stop being angry at all of these other things and just go to God. And you know what? If you have to be brutally honest with God, he can handle you. Amen. Oh, I dare not tell him what's on my mind. Oh, please. In the name of Jesus, get over yourself. Go to him. Give him your frustration. Tell him what's missing. Come to the king. Secondly, not only should we come to the king, but we should also trust God's timing. I gotta wonder. Scripture doesn't cover it, okay? So I'm gonna just speculate. But I gotta wonder, as the woman, after 7 years, in her situation, as the woman was making the journey to the king, I wonder what was going through her mind. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? Is he going to get mad at me? I've never talked to him before. What's going to take place? Am I going to get thrown in jail? Is he going to throw me in the dungeon? Is he going to give me what I'm asking for? All of these questions. And then what happens? We read it. Here's the king, okay? Sitting on his throne, and he's speaking at that moment as she is at the door. She is speaking to the servant of Elisha who has seen everything. And so the king says, "Hey, tell me some stories about Elisha. I'd like to hear them." And Elisha's like, "Well," and some say he may have actually had leprosy at this time too. So maybe not at his best, but he starts sharing. He raised the dead. He did all these miracles. And just as he starts talking about raising the dead, they hear two sets of footsteps. And as he's talking about raising the dead, here comes Mama and her son at the exact same, total coincidence, right? You know what I've learned? With God, there's no such thing as a coincidence. I've just seen too much. And the very moment that Gehazi is telling the king about the raising of the dead, here comes the best sermon illustration a preacher could ever ask for. King! There she is, and there he is! At the exact moment. You know what I've learned? God's timing is always absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. God knows what he's doing, and he also knows how to do it, and he also knows when to do it. And at precisely the perfect moment, which is what God does, in walks the Shunammite woman with her son who was raised from the dead. I will tell you, folks, if you're waiting on God, then please understand, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. This was posted on our Facebook page just yesterday. There is a time for everything, and there is a season for every activity under the heavens. God has everything worked out. If you think God's panicking because of what you're facing, I gotta tell you, he's not. And he knows exactly how, and he knows exactly when to do what he needs to do. And the problem is, because we're so instantaneous, we want it done yesterday, right? And that's a product of our culture. You've heard me talk about this before. Like, I just shared with somebody I got this electronic business card. It's pretty cool, especially for an old guy like me. And you just hold it next to the phone, and boom, there I am. And there's all my information. Wow, instantly. What I would have had to take time to write out and everything, not anymore. It's pretty cool. Instantaneous. Microwaves. Millennials, you have no idea what life was like without a microwave. You have no clue. You have no clue. You don't know the struggle, right? How about when there was only one drive-through lane at McDonald's instead of two? Oh, the dark ages, right? Everything in our culture tries to accommodate this instantaneous mindset. And I've learned, my brother once told me, I've quoted him before, God's never late, but he misses a lot of opportunities to be early. But God's timing is perfect. And if you're waiting on that answer, God's timing is perfect. Trust him. Trust him. As hard as it is, trust him. He knows what he's doing. We've looked at the outcast and her outlook, and I'm going to close with this. I want to show you the outcome. What happened? The result of this is pretty amazing. I'm not sure what she was expecting. She was just going to ask for her house back. Look at verse 6. It says, the king asked the woman about it, about her son, and she told him, by the way, there are a few things more powerful than your testimony. That's another sermon. If God's done something for you, tell somebody. It's powerful. Anyway, she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, give back everything. Say everything. Everything that belonged to her, including, as a bonus, all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now. Are you kidding me? So not only is she getting her house and her land, but then on top of that, she's getting 7 years of income that she was not expecting that was provided to her. What took place? What was the outcome? Number one, there was restoration. There was restoration. God will restore what the enemy has taken from you. Can you say amen? The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus has come to give you life and that more abundantly. Our kids in the back are learning from this scripture this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has your future in his hand. God has your hope in his hand. He has plans for you, and his plans are perfect. You could trust him to restore what the enemy has taken from you. Can you say amen here today? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. What a great verse. So there was restoration. Jonathan, if you could help me. Finally, there was a reward. Just heard it. She not only got the house and the land, she got more. It's amazing. And all she did, in fact, she didn't even ask the king for anything. She just showed up in his presence. Pretty amazing things happen when you show up in the King of Kings' presence. There's a book of the Bible a lot of us love to skip. It's the book of Job. Like, people are like, please don't do a Bible study on the book of Job. Because he went through all this horrible stuff. But in chapter 42, verse 10, after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. This is not a get-rich prosperity type of sermon, so please don't misunderstand me today. But what this is, if something's been taken from you, like that list that we covered before, God's very good at not only restoring that, but actually giving you more than what you had asked for. That's the way he operates. One of my favorite verses, and this is my last one, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's able to do more than what you'll pray for today. He is able to do more than you could even ask him to do. That's our God. So, my question to you, is there something missing in your life? And is this the day? Are you at a moment where you can go to the Lord and say, I want it back. I want my joy back. I want my happiness back. I want my fulfillment, my security, my health. I want my relationships restored. All this has been taken from me. I don't want to live like this, God. And today is the day. As you're here in this presence here today, as you've heard this word today, this is the day for you to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the day to approach him and say, Lord, this is missing. I want it back. And then trust him. Trust him to not only restore you, but reward you in Jesus' name. Can you say amen here today? Would you stand with me here today? I just wonder, I think there may be some people that are missing some things in their lives and you want it back. The King's here. The King is here. And the way that we approach him is in prayer. The way that we approach him is to have a moment now. That moment that we get alone with him and we say, Lord, this is what's missing and I want it back. And we pour our hearts out to the Lord. And we walk out of this place trusting him. I want you to walk out of this place trusting God and believing that he is that restoring and rewarding God that we talked about. Amen? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And if you need to come to the King today and say, Lord, this is what's missing. I want it back. I'm going to urge you to find a place to pray, maybe at this altar area, maybe at your seat. But I want to make this whole room a house of prayer. And don't leave until God's done with you and you with him. And let's trust God together that he will restore what the enemy has tried to take from our lives. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just wonder, is there anyone here today? You'll say, Pastor Phil, I am not in a right relationship with God. The big thing that's missing for me is the fact that I don't even know him. I'm not serving him. And today, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I can tell you, friend, it's the greatest gift that God will restore to you and give to you today. And if that is you, we dare not turn you loose here without giving you a chance to give your life to Jesus Christ. And so while no one's looking around, just me, and I will not embarrass you, I promise, but so that I can know whom to pray for, you'll say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not right with him, and today I need to do so. If that is you, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up and put it right back down. I want to pray for you in this place. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Yes, thank you. Are there others today? I need to give my life completely to Jesus Christ. I'm not where I should be, Pastor. I want to make my life right with him. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stop talking and let you pray. But I'm going to ask you, in this first part of this prayer, if you'll repeat these words with me. And those of you who raised your hands, there were a few of you. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to really pray this from your heart today. Don't just recite it, but pray it from your heart. Because God's going to save you, and God's going to change you today with this prayer. You ready? Everybody repeat so we can support our friends. Say this: Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you for dying for me. I ask you, come into my life. Become my Lord and my Savior. I give my life completely to you. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that you rose from the dead, and your word says that I am saved. So I thank you. I ask you now, help me to live for you every single day, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, all across this room, I know that there are people with some things missing in their lives. And Lord God, they need to cry out to you. I ask you, Jesus, that you would restore what the enemy's taken. God, I pray that you would exceed our prayers and exceed our imaginations here today. And God, that you would do what only you can do. So Lord, I pray that you would give us life again, life more abundantly, and then we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So God, hear our prayers, meet with us, and speak to us, and wrap your arms around us and love us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, find a place to pray right now. If God's released you, you can be dismissed to pray or to a fellowship in the lobby. Let's make this room a house of prayer. Hallelujah.